This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at KTO 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. And I have a story for you, of course. So I'll give you a chance to get settled, and I'll come right back with Mike Kraft's Old Timer. Stay tuned. This is Ms. G. I'm back with my story for the evening. This is Telling Tales at KTO 104.3. The story tonight is titled Old Timer with Mike Kraft. She was a recluse, and an ugly one at that. But in her heyday, she was a star, a glamour queen. No one missed her films. She was in every column. She couldn't walk the streets without being mauled by autograph-hungry hounds. There she was. Lana Lawn, Queen of the Silence. Marvelous, absolutely marvelous, until the movies began to speak, and she faded quickly into obscurity. But not until she paid hefty money to create a well-known studio to take advantage of those who could talk, and talk well. Lana Lawn, Queen of the Silence, mogul of the studio, and now a recluse and forgotten, except for a monthly check, and a nice one at that, from the studio she had founded. In all of this, she received perhaps one or two letters from fans every 10 years. She had received many when she retired, but they were reduced to a trickle when newer generations arose. It had been almost 5 years since she had received her last letter, but one day, a letter arrived from a young university student who had, out of sheer despair, decided to pick her for a school film class term paper. He had watched one silent film that she had made and then decided for extra credit to write her a letter in the hope that he would receive a reply so he could include it with his report. Lana opened the envelope slowly. No one ever wrote. Who was this? Timothy Dwight III. Dearest Lana Lawn, I watched your movie. I was deeply moved. You were great. Sincerely, Timothy Dwight III. Lana had never written a reply to any of her fans during the height of her career. Her staff had done all of that for her. She didn't have time and didn't care to correspond with them anyway. However, as time moved on and as the letters grew scarce, Lana began to change her mind. And every once in a while, she would write back a little note saying, thanks, and sign her name. The past few letters, she had taken the time to write several long replies, talking about the weather and describing in great detail how hot it was and the unexpected rain that had come down one afternoon just before she was going to take her afternoon nap. She even included the weather report from her morning paper. The very last letter she received, she went into great detail about a fishing trip where they gutted the fish. For an encloser, she put in the guts. But for Timothy Dwight III, she was going to do something different. This time, she was going to do something that would have been in a young man's ambition during her golden years. She was going to sit down and write an invitation to dinner. And when he came over, she was going to kiss him. Timothy was having difficulty trying to fill in his paper when he received Lana's invitation. He couldn't believe it. Here was an old movie star in the flesh asking him to dine with her. Wow, he said. At first, his roommates didn't seem to care that he was going to dinner at some old lady's house. But after Timothy explained to them in great detail who Lana Lawn was, and showed them her film and what others had written about her during that time, all his roommates could say was, "Wow, Lana Lon and in the flesh. Timothy, what are you going to wear? Lawn attire." The old mansion had seen its days of mirth. It stood stately on a hill overlooking many other such posh past paradises, but the great iron gates were not used as frequently and as they had been, so that the rest caused them to creak as they opened. Timothy Dwight III became a little nervous when he heard this and saw the grand home silently sitting waiting for his arrival. He had only dreamed of ever being in the home of a movie star. He never expected an invitation, even from a has-been such as Lana Lon. After he rang the bell, he waited for what seemed like forever as he heard a door from inside open and then shut, and soft footsteps walking ever so slowly, one step at a time, as though the action was difficult and laborious. However, as Timothy listened, the steps suddenly became quicker and swifter, and suddenly the door flew open, and there before Timothy Dwight III's eyes was a ravishing blonde wearing quite conservative clothes. "Hello," she said. "You must be Timmy. I am Lana Lon." "Lana Lon?" Timothy said. "Surprised? You were expecting someone else?" "I hope not," this woman said. "Please come in." Timothy Dwight III's heart began to beat rapidly. This wasn't Lana Lon. Lana Lon was 97 years old. This bombshell was not much older than he was. Are you related to Lana Lon?" Timothy asked. Upon this, the woman laughed and chided him. "Related," she said. "Don't make me laugh so. Just who do you think I am?" Timothy said. "Do you do this with all your dates?" she asked. "Forget who they are the moment you take them out?"
No, Timothy
said. "It's just that I was expecting, I was expecting, and I don't mean that I'm against plastic surgery or anything like that, but I was expecting to meet someone much older, and I do mean much, much older than me."
"You are so sweet," she said.
"You should still be in the movies," Timothy said. "Let's sit down and have some dinner," she said, "and you can flatter me some more. I should have invited my fans over for dinner years earlier." She took Timothy's arm and walked him to the dining room. It was during this time that they walked past an ornate full-length mirror from the 20s decorating its stand. Lana's eyes caught a slight glimpse of another person in the room besides Timothy Dwight III, and she suddenly jumped.
"Oh," she said, "oh."
"What?" Timothy said. Lana looked around the room. There was no one there. "I saw someone. Another woman," she said. Timothy looked around. He saw nothing.
"I am imagining things," Lana said. "Ghosts from the past, I suppose."
She put her hand to her breast and breathed heavily and then laughed. "Oh, the joys of old age," she said, and then laughed again. "Shall we continue our walk to the dining room?" Timothy nodded and then began to think this quite a queer woman, albeit a beautiful one. He tried to avert his staring from her, but he was unable. This was a true goddess, someone you would welcome as a work of art in your finest museum. Once they reached the dining room, Timothy's eyes temporarily feasted on an elegant setting, the finest china, silver, and crystal, orchids and decorative pots, champagne, caviar, the best meats, rich, tantalizing desserts, frozen berries in solid gold platters, all the trappings of the rich and then some. Lana took his arm and led him to a chair next to hers at the far end of the table. "Please sit down," she said. "I had to put something together quickly before the cook left. This is her half day, I'm afraid." Lana sat down and daintily put a silk napkin in her lap. The light from the setting sun bathed her face in a soft glow as though she was not really there, but instead of a holograph, a character from a movie from her past. She leaned towards Timothy. "I let the maid go as well. I want this evening to be ours and ours alone," she said. "Nothing must disturb that." She touched his hand, and Timothy immediately grew weak.
I feel faint, Timothy said. Faint? Lana said. Overwhelmed, perhaps? I am so happy. I didn't think I could still elicit such a response from my fans. Oh, thank you, Timothy. You are so kind. Now, you must try these blueberries. They have been quickly chilled. Timothy couldn't think. His heart was sinking fast. He was unworthy to be in the presence of such greatness. Who was he, Timothy Dwight III, to be sitting next to Lana Lon? His mouth grew dry. He said, water. Water, she said. No champagne? Timothy's vision began to get blurred. He couldn't think. This wasn't happening. It was not real. It was an illusion. It had to be. Lana Lon was 97 years old. There was a trick with the lighting. There was some type of Hollywood magic in this. What's wrong? Lana asked. You are faint, aren't you? Oh, please don't. I can't kiss you if you faint. Kiss me? Timothy said. You are thinking of my kiss, aren't you? She said. Of course you are. Don't worry, Timothy Dwight III. I have made a very firm commitment to kiss you before this evening is over. Upon these words, Timothy's eyes rolled upward and his limp body collapsed to the marble floor. Oh, dear, Lana said. I remember this happening many years ago, but I did not believe it would still happen. He must have such a marvelous imagination to think of me in this way. Lana arose and went to the phone to call for help. It wasn't less than 5 minutes when the local medics arrived to administer first aid. They were surprised to see this beautiful woman greet them at the door. But they didn't give it much thought as they went about their business to revive Timothy Dwight III. As Timothy began to stir, they turned to Lana Lon. Are you her new nurse? One of the men asked. Nurse? Who's nurse? Lana Lon's nurse. I am Lana Lon. Both medics laughed. You should be in show business, the men said. Lana looked at them in amazement. What on earth were they talking about? I am a little too old for show business, she said. The men laughed again. Stop it, they said. You are killing us. Lana Lon didn't understand and decided to leave it. Is he going to be all right? She asked. There's nothing wrong with him, one of them said. He just needs some fresh air. Oh, dear, she said, and I wanted this to be such a romantic dinner. Lana Lon lets you have these elaborate meals on her premises? One of the men said. Must be nice. I am Lana Lon. Both men laughed again. Lady, from the looks of you, there is absolutely nothing wrong, but I suggest you see a psychiatrist, one of the men said. Yeah, and I wouldn't tell Mrs. Lon about your delusion. You might lose your job, another man said. I am Lana Lon. Lady, you are not Lana Lon, one of the men said. Timothy Dwight III began to stir and open his eyes. Lana bent down beside him. Timothy, please tell these men who I am. Tell them I am Lana Lon. You are, Timothy said. Timothy again rolled his eyes upward. No, Timothy, don't faint on me again, Lana said and grabbed his arms and tried to keep him from falling over, but to no avail. The two men picked Timothy up. I think he needs some air now, one of the men said. Lana watched the men take Timothy out the door and into her gardens. Oh, this was truly something her friends would want to hear. But she stopped herself when she realized she had outlived all of them. She looked sadly at the dining room where an untouched meal grew cold. There was, perhaps, some slight spark of romantic notions in her asking Timothy over to dinner. No, not perhaps. Most definitely was. But it was a notion nonetheless as she realized 97 years old was not the time for make-believe. How could he possibly faint, she thought. Have I really grown that ugly? Lana walked over to the mirror from the 1920s. Mirror, mirror on the wall, she said, looking into its glass. Suddenly she screamed and jumped, and the woman in the mirror jumped too. What? She said. No, this can't be. Lana put her hands up to her face and felt it. The wrinkles were gone. She looked at her hands and gasped. They were young and smooth. This is not possible, she said. I am imagining this. One of my medications must be bad. Noticing the men still outside, Lana ran out and confronted them.
"Do I look old?" she asked.
"Boy, you really milked the sack for all it's worth, don't you?" one of the men said.
"Please," she said. "The mirror, it's lying. It's saying that I'm young, but I am not young. I am 97 years old, but my mind is going. I see a smooth hand."
"Do you see a smooth hand?"
Lana held up her hand and the men looked at it.
"It's smooth," the men said.
"And my face, is it smooth or wrinkled?" she asked.
"It's smooth," they said again.
"Am I ugly?" she boldly asked.
"You really have a bad self-image," one of the men said.
"No, really," she said. "Please, I think I am losing my mind."
"You're gorgeous," the men said. "Whoever told you that you were ugly?"
Lana thanked the men and began to walk back to her house. When she did, she noticed that she was really walking, not hobbling. She lifted her skirts and saw beautiful, silky, smooth legs with no varicose veins. Right before she reached the door, she suddenly reached up and touched her hair. She turned to the men again.
"Is it gray?" she said, pointing to her hair.
"Gray?" the men asked. "You are as natural a blonde as they come."
"Oh, you are both so kind," she said. "I'm going to come over there and give you both a big kiss."
Upon hearing this, both men's eyes rolled upward and their limp bodies collapsed to the ground. The end. That was Mike Crass, Old Timer. I hope you enjoyed that story. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G at KTO 104.3, and I'll be right back.
This is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Telling Tales here tonight at KTO 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. And as you know, it's our pledge week, so don't forget to check out kto.org. You can pledge online, check out the gifts and the amounts and everything right there on the website. So, and you can also listen live, so check that out. My next story is by Eliza Riley. It's titled Return to Paradise. Lisa gazed out over the Caribbean Sea, feeling the faint breeze against her face, eyes shut, the white sand warm between her bare toes. The place was beautiful beyond belief, but it was still unable to ease the grief she felt as she remembered the last time she had been here. She had married James right here on this spot 3 years ago to the day. Dressed in a simple white shift dress, miniature white roses attempting to tame her long, dark curls, Lisa had been happier than she had ever thought possible. James was even less formal, but utterly irresistible in creased summer trousers and a loose white cotton shirt. His dark hair slightly ruffled and his eyes full of adoration as he looked at his bride-to-be. The justice of the peace had read their vows as they held hands and laughed at the sheer joy of being young, in love, and staying in a 5-star resort on the Caribbean island of the Dominican Republic. They had seen the years blissfully stretching ahead of them, together forever. They planned their children, 2 she said and he said 4, so they compromised on 3. 2 girls and a boy, of course. Where they would live, the traveling they would do together, it was all certain, so they had thought then. But that seemed such a long time ago now.
A lot can change in just a few years. A lot of heartache can change a person and drive a wedge through the strongest ties, break even the deepest love. 3 years to the day, and they had returned. Though this time not for the beachside marriages the island was famous for, but for one of its equally popular quickie divorces. Lisa let out a sigh that was filled with pain and regret. What could she do but move on, find a new life and new dreams? The old one was beyond repair. How could this beautiful place with its lush green coastline, eternity of azure blue sea, and endless sands be a place for the agony she felt now? The man stood watching from the edge of the palm trees. He couldn't take his eyes off the dark-haired woman he saw standing at the water's edge, gazing out to sea as though she was waiting for something or someone. She was beautiful, with her slim figure dressed in a loose flowing cotton dress, her crazy hair and bright blue eyes not far off the color of the sea itself. It wasn't her looks that attracted him, though. He came across many beautiful women in his work as a freelance photographer. It was her loneliness and intensity that lured him. Even at some distance, he was aware that she was different from any other woman he could meet. Lisa sensed the man approaching even before she turned around. She had been aware of him standing there staring at her and had felt strangely calm about being observed. She looked at him and felt the instant spark of connection she had only experienced once before. He walked slowly towards her, and they held on each other's gaze. It felt like meeting a long-lost friend, not a stranger on a strange beach. Later, sitting at one of the many bars on the resort, sipping the local cocktails, they began to talk. First pleasantries, their hotels, the quality of the food, and friendliness of the locals. Their conversation was strangely hesitant, considering the naturalness and confidence of their earlier meeting. Onlookers, however, would have detected the subtle flirtation as they mirrored each other's actions and spoke directly into each other's eyes. Only later, after the alcohol had its loosening effect, did the conversation deepen. They talked of why they were there, and finally, against her judgment, Lisa opened up about her heartache of the past year and how events had led her back to the place where she had married the only man she believed she could ever love. She told him of things that had been locked deep inside her, able to tell no one. She told him how she had felt after she had lost her baby. She was 6 months pregnant and the happiest she had ever been when the pains had started. She was staying with her mother as James was working out of town. He hadn't made it back in time. The doctor had said it was just one of those things that they could try again. But how could she, when she couldn't even look James in the eye? She hated him then for not being there, for not hurting as much as her, but most of all for looking so much like the tiny baby boy that she had held for just 3 hours before they took him away. All through the following months, she had withdrawn from her husband, family, and friends, not wanting to recover from the pain she felt that would have been a betrayal of her son. At the funeral, she had refused to stand next to her husband, and the next day, she had left him. Looking up, Lisa could see her pain reflected in the man's eyes. For the first time in months, she didn't feel alone. She felt the unbearable burden begin to lift from her. Only a bit, but it was a start. She began to believe that maybe she had a future after all, and maybe it could be with this man, with his kind hazel eyes, wet with their shared tears. They had come here to dissolve their marriage, but maybe there was hope. Lisa stood up and took James by the hand and led him away from the bar towards the beach where they had made their vows to each other 3 years ago. Tomorrow she would counsel the divorce. Tonight they would work on renewing their promises. That was Return to Paradise by Eliza Riley. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G. I'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Hi there, this is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Telling Tales here tonight at KTO 104.3. And in honor of this being Poetry Month, since it's April, I do have a poem for you by Mr. Walt Whitman, titled Miracles. Why, who makes much of a miracle? As to me, I know of nothing else but miracles. Whether I walk the streets of Manhattan or dart my sight over the roofs of houses toward the sky, or wade with naked feet along the beach just in the edge of the water, or stand under trees in the woods, or talk by day with anyone I love, or sleep in the bed at night with anyone I love, or sit at table at dinner with the rest. I look at strangers opposite me riding in the car, or watch honeybees busy around the hive of a summer forenoon. Our animals feeding in the fields, our birds, are the wonderfulness of insects in the air, are the wonderfulness of the sundown, are of stars shining so quiet and bright, are the exquisite, delicate, thin curve of the new moon in spring. These, with the rest, one and all, are to me miracles, the whole referring, yet each distinct and in its place. To me, every hour of the light and dark is a miracle. Every cubic inch of space is a miracle. Every square yard of the surface of the earth is spread with the same. Every foot of the interior swarms with the same. To me, the sea is a continual miracle. The fishes that swim, the rocks, the motion of the waves, the ships with men in them. What stranger miracles are there? That was Walt Whitman's Miracles for Poetry Month. This has been Telling Tales with Ms. G. I've enjoyed bringing you stories and poems tonight. So until next time, good night.